Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
People want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
What the city should be doing are those things that are absolutely critical where we can do it better than the private side.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Here we are indeed on this Friday edition of the John Gambling Show at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. We do have Mayor Michael Bloomberg here. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. Did you notice the weather outside?
Yes, it's better than it was last night.
Yes, well, one of the problems is I was driving in from Brooklyn last night with Diana, who said to me something about the weather, and I said, oh, you know, look at it this way. Hold your breath. We're just about over. We're not going to have any more snow. No big snowstorms this year. And she said, don't jinx it. Don't
exactly.
jinx it.
I mean, now so that you've said that.
If we do have a big snowstorm in April, I'll now get blamed, if not by the public, by her.
Mr. Mayor, we have some telephone difficulties this morning, so we are changing our telephone number. If you've got a question for the mayor, it is still toll-free. We're paying the freight, 800-321-8828. 321-8828 if you've got a question for
when
the mayor.
When Diana calls in and complains
exactly.
about the snow.
Diana, 800-321-8828. Mr. Mayor, we have a guest with us on the telephone.
We do. We have Carter Roberts, who's the CEO of the World Wildlife Fund, and we're going to have something tomorrow night called Having New York City Go Dark for Earth Hour. Earth Hour is where we're going to cut the... turn off the lights in a lot of big buildings for a period, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, City Hall, Staten Island and Brooklyn Borough Halls, UN headquarters. I can go on and on and on.
Well, you're turning the lights off on us here.
We're going to turn out the lights for 1 hour, a symbolic thing.
Let's say good morning to Carter Roberts, who is the CEO of World Wildlife Fund. Carter, hello there.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Carter. How are you?
Nice to be here in New York City with you.
Well, we arranged good weather for you, and hopefully people understand that the good weather is compliments of a planet that we have to make sure stays this way.
Well, you know, you're how you described Earth Hour is an understatement. You're going to what's going to happen in New York is going to be a spectacle. It's full of great landmarks. The great
Well, we got some telephone problems with Carter. His cell phone, wherever he is not beaming to the proper satellite or something like that. But the World Wildlife Fund wants this Earth Hour and has this Earth Hour. You pointed
out what
we're doing.
We're going to turn off, for example, what they call the necklace, the lights across the bridges.
For an hour. Fortunately,
1 hour.
Who's going to answer the phone when 311 keeps ringing and saying the lights just went out on the Verrazano Bridge?
We are going to tell the 311 operators what's going on. They already know, so if you call. And because people do get worried, and that's another advantage of 311. If people are worried about what's going on, we can go and give them the information.
All right, we've got Carter back on here. Carter, hopefully we've got a better connection here. Good morning.
Yeah, we do. Sorry
there
about
we go.
That.
All right. Now, listen, Carter, tell me, you've got this thing going all the way around the world, right?
Yeah, we're going to, on the same hour, the same day, you're going to see the Acropolis in Greece, the pyramids of Giza, the Eiffel Tower. You're going to see the Sydney Opera House, the Empire State Building, and the Golden Gate Bridge all go dark. It's all part of a global event that's going to involve all making the statement that we need to take action on climate change now.
Well,
and what's happening in New York is one of the biggest cities and one of the biggest statements of all.
Carter, we are glad to be able to participate, and it's a good reminder to everyone that we're in charge of our destiny. So, John, we've got to keep...
absolutely.
You know. Carter, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Carter Roberts from the World Wildlife Fund right there. All right, Mr. Mayor, where do we start on what's going on around town here? Well, let's start with the MTA. That's been the story of the week. The budget... We got a new plan from Malcolm Smith in the Senate about taxing people that, you know, $300,000 and above.
Let's start with we need mass transit. Okay, so we have to keep mass transit running at all costs, And if one person won't pay, then the other person has to pay. But we can't close down our mass transit system. It would literally, as you know, stop the city. If Albany does, number two, the MTA is in trouble. Their revenues have declined.
Are you confident with their books? I mean, there seems to be a lot of noise about
There's
all
always
this.
Noise. Is it the, John, it's an enormous agency. Could you go through their books and find some things that you don't like or that they didn't categorize right? Yeah, in the context you asked the question, this is a public entity with enormous number of people involved, some of whom, if there was any big fraud or corruption, would say something about it. You couldn't keep secrets if you wanted to. They have outside auditors. Of course their books are, in the context you're asking, okay. You can question why it costs so much. Generally speaking, when you look at these things, you'll find it's because people want to get paid, and they need to buy services and fuel and all that sort of thing. Sometimes they say, oh, well, let's do this, but nobody wants to sell that to you. And yes, that's not the issue. The issue is that they have not invested in new technology that would save labor and be much more efficient and attract more riders. The usage of mass transit has declined with the economy slowing down. That's not good because it's less revenue, but they still have to pay the same number of people and run the same number of trains, which means the same amount of fuel and electricity and maintenance and everything else. This is an agency that is, you could always run anything better, but fundamentally, it carries 3.5 million people a day safely and reliably. And I know somebody's going to call in and say, oh, no, my train or my bus the other day. Come on.
Yeah. My car breaks down,
right.
too.
So we have to have it. It is, in the context we're talking about, reasonably run. They have not invested in the future for a long time, and we're paying for that now, and we're going to pay for that more in the future. And then we get to Albany. The city came up with a plan to try to get us capital monies and operating subsidies. Albany said no. The governor brought in Dick Ravitz, used to run the MTA, smart guy, doesn't need an extra job pro bono for anything, spends a lot of his time coming up
and
with
knows good, the product.
Knows the product, comes up with good ideas. Doesn't mean it's the only solution, but comes up with some ideas. Shelley Silver, you get to him. In all fairness, he rejected the first thing, but he did come up with another plan. It's not the plan that I would have liked, and it doesn't really address the capital needs of the
But it keeps
system.
The trains on time.
But I mean, it's hard to go after and complain about Shelley. He's got an idea, and democracy says he should negotiate something with the governor and with who still is backing, I guess, Ravitz's plan, and the Senate. Then you get to the Senate. The Senate is unable to come to an agreement internally on what to do. You can blame Malcolm Smith or not or whatever. Blaming people doesn't get us anyplace. The bottom line is the Senate is unwilling to come up with any plan that makes any sense. Everything they've come up with. The other day, somebody told me, somebody on the Senate had an idea. They're going to build another set of toll booths on the New York City side of the Lincoln Holland tunnels and the GW Bridge. We're going to tax people charge people.
Tax people.
Another fee. Get serious. You couldn't do that. The bottom line is they either have to vote to put tolls on all of the bridges and to have a payroll tax, or come up with a better idea that really works, which they haven't done yet, or the MTA is going to raise its fares come July 1st to keep the system running. The city voted its 4 votes. The governor voted its votes. We can't close it down. And there's a lot of these things that we're all of a sudden recognizing we can't do it the old way and somebody's got to pay. I am totally sympathetic with the state and their budget problems. As long as they solve them fairly across with everybody having pain, okay, we'll go along it. Because that's exactly what we're doing in New York City.
I had a conversation with Richard Brodsky yesterday, Assemblyman, and he was saying that there needs to be a more control over the operations of the MTA, and I argued and pushed back that there already is.
Brodsky's just running for office. This is ridiculous. There are plenty of people looking over the MTA. And in fact, Ravitz's plan does call for one executive. Right now we have a chairman and an executive, Dale Hummerdinger and Lee Sanders, combining into one. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but Ravitz knows the institution, and he thinks so, so my inclination would be to side with him. And also we have these separate bus companies, which were designed for political reasons. So when you see on the side of the bus, it says Mascapa, which stands for something or other, or New York City Bus. People think, oh, New York City Bus, yeah, it's a bus. No, that's the name of a company that's got its own PR department, its own legal staff, its own HR department, and we got to combine those. One of the problems, of course, is that there are different unions representing some of the difference, and none of it's simple, but we've got to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And to just sit there and to complain about Lee Sander is ridiculous. You know, he was hired, he's doing a decent job, great job, I don't know, nor does anybody else, but they do run the subways every day. They do run the buses every day. And the fault lies in the legislature that has not funded this and not come up with a plan to give us the money so that we can increase the area that MTA covers, because everybody deserves mass transit, and we need them, and that'll get cars off the streets, which are choking our economy, and give us more money. We need to make the subway system safer from terrorism, and you know, it's safe from street crime. There's virtually no crime in the subways these days, but we always worry about we're part of an international world, and subways have been attacked elsewhere, so we should make sure ours are safe. We want to make sure that it's more pleasurable and we have more frequent service so you can depend and more dependable and all of those kinds of things. That takes capital investments. And if you listen, the capital side of this, which should be done first, has all of a sudden disappeared from the rhetoric. And the reason is the MTA board acted responsibly and said, guys, we're not going to shut this down. If you don't give us the money, we have no choice. The only revenue source the MTA board has is what you swipe your Metro card.
Exactly, or other sources of income that comes comes in through the state. The MTA, no, you're right.
The MTA board only has the fare. They can also have some advertising. You know, you see advertising. I saw actually on the side of a bus a big ad, electronic billboard that changed. That's
kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they're using their heads trying to get other money, but the big bulk of the
money. I haven't seen the ad that they use like a flip cartoon, whereas the train passes, there's a series of images that move because of the optics. I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either, but your obvious thing is you would advertise things at a station that are up above that station. You know, a restaurant upstairs, when you're getting off the train, seeing it makes some sense if another station doesn't.
And again, if they had signage that changed, electronic billboards, they could make a lot more
money.
John,
we can yell and scream about management and everything else. The bottom line, and good agency, bad agency, the bottom line is we have to have it. They can't do it without state aid, and the state's got to pull it together. And the governor and Shelley, I'll let them off the hook on this one. They both had plans, did what they have to do. And now it's up to the Senate.
All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. We got to take care of a little business again. Let me remind you, different telephone number this hour, 800-321-8828, 8828 with a 321 before it. Get in line if you want to talk with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. Again, different number this time around if you've got a question for the mayor later on. 800-321-8828. Mr. Mayor, right in our backyard here, they've decided to change the name of the Freedom Tower to what? One World Trade Center? Do you care? You have a dog in this show?
Well, it's up to the Port Authority. If it were me and I didn't have to rent space, I have no idea what the commercial aspects are, and we can say, oh, we shouldn't worry about that, but of course you have to, particularly now. I would like to see it stay the Freedom Tower, but it's their building, and they don't need me dumping on it. If they could rent the whole thing by changing the name, I guess they're going to do that. And they probably, from a responsible point of view, should. From a patriotic point of view, is it going to make any difference? One of the things is we call things what we want to call them. So Avenue of the Americas is a good example. It's Sixth Avenue to most people. Very few people that use Avenue of the Americas. If they name this One World Trade Center, people still call it the Freedom Tower.
It's interesting. We name things or we change things' name, and as you say, Sixth Avenue, Avenue of the Americas, has never made it. But there is a the West Side Highway has another name.
And what is that, John?
It is the Joe DiMaggio Highway.
In the interest of full disclosure, Stu and I walked in this morning thinking you would not know, asked you, and you knew instantly. I was so impressed until you told me it was on your GPS.
Exactly. I was in my car, and the GPS said the Joe DiMaggio Highway, and I said, what is the Joe DiMaggio Highway, and how did I get here?
It's easy to have a name for a new road. So Jackie Robinson, I don't know what it was before, but it's been there a long time. People do use that. RFK Bridge. You know, I listened to the new,
There's enough traffic on that, so they've changed the name.
Right.
So people
and they blame the city for $4 million to change all the signs. It was $4 million, but it was state money and the state roads that did that, so we didn't have...
The Avenue of the Americas, though, is a fascinating...
It didn't... I don't know why it doesn't...
It just never...
Yeah, Nelson Rockefeller days, interest in Latin America, big trading partners, a lot of people here from Latin America... a lot of tourism going to Latin America, but it never seemed to catch on. But anyways, I think we're not going to forget what happened down there. And in the end, the real thing that will tell the story and memorialize and hopefully give us a lesson that we should never let it happen again is the World Trade Center Memorial. And now it's called the November 11th, 9/11 Memorial.
Interesting article I read the other day about that memorial and the people that have been charged with the design of it and getting it done and the complexity. There's a company in California. They have models, mock-ups in Brooklyn inside. It was really interesting how complicated
that's
it was.
Exactly. I mean, it seems easy. Even names. How do you space them? What kind of typeface should it be?
Size of the letters?
Size up or in or, you know, whatever. And, of course, it's New York, so everybody has an opinion on anything. But here, there's an emotional content, too. There's patriotism. There's people who, you know, lost relatives there and feel very strongly. I do think that they picked the right design. This guy, Michael Arad, who worked for the city and the landscape architect together have come up with a great memorial. The biggest problem with the memorial is underneath goes a lot of other stuff. So you can't really finish it until what's underneath is done. The trouble with underneath is it depends on other parts. So you can't have any construction until the Deutsche Bank building is down because that's where trucks
will
enter the
screening. Guess what? It's not down yet. If you hadn't noticed, it's not down yet.
It's almost ready to be taken down. They had to stop because of the terrible tragedy and decontaminate the whole thing. And you can't have it both ways. You can't have it super safe in your decontamination and do it quickly. We're not... My first priority here is safety. Second is doing it right. Third is speed. But anyways, that will come down. But until that comes down, you can't have truck center. Until the Silverstein's buildings, one of the problems is he can't get mortgages at the moment. There are not a lot of tenants available for downtown. But under his buildings, that's a lot of the air conditioning and other facilities for the rest of the site. So if he doesn't build, what do you do? It is the most probably the most complex construction project in the world from an engineering point of view and also from a political point of view because you've got state, city, federal, private, public, lots of agencies. You've got a railroad running through it that has to keep going. That's the PATH trains. You've got all sorts of legal challenges. You've got the emotion of the public, those who want to tell a story, those who want to memorialize.
And you've got the Hudson River, which if you don't do it right, comes right in.
Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I get in trouble for defending everybody. Could they have done it better? In retrospect, sure. That's always the case. The most important thing is we don't have any deaths and we get it done right. And we will. It will be a lot more aggravation. It's going to be slower than... You know, it would have been if the economy was booming. On the other hand, labor and cement and steel costs are lower, so there's some help there. I would argue that if Silverstein can go ahead and build these buildings, probably a great time to do it because the economy should be well beyond this downturn by the time those buildings come
online. And as you always say,
you've
got to plan ahead because it takes 5, 6, 7, 8 years to build these buildings.
Absolutely right. And I think, you know, that is the economy going down more from here? I don't know. But there are some signs. I've talked to small store owners that say a few people are coming in, not a lot. And also, you got to remember that next year comparisons will be phenomenal compared to last year. If the automobile industry, which used to sell 17 million cars, this year sells 9 million, let's assume the 9 million goes to 10 million. You can write the story up 11%. It's still only 10, incidentally, down from 17. But I tried to explain to somebody the other day, they had a stock that went down 95%. I said, if your stock goes up 100%, you're still down 90%. And incidentally, your average performance is plus 2.5% per year.
That's the money man, our Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, sit tight for a second here. Let's get a news update. 8:32 at WOR. Here's Joe Barton.
To tell John what you think, 800-321-0710. Call now. News Talk Radio, 710 WOR.
Let me correct Mr. Bill Rock right there with that telephone number, the one we're using this morning. We're having some phone trouble. 800-321-8828. That's 321-8828. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg coming up here, I have one. Your reaction to the increasing of fees for trial lawyers that Albany has...
Not going to be good for our public hospitals or for any hospital, because you should get, you would think you would have more lawsuits if the lawyers get a bigger fee. There's more incentive to invest time.
Haven't we been pushing to go in the other direction?
Actually, I think, well, I haven't seen numbers recently, but for a number of years, tort settlements have been going down nationwide while we've been complaining about it more. In this case, there is some things you could mitigate it. There's some compensation things. It's a very technical thing. I just don't think this is the time to do this. I don't know why it's there, what the argument could possibly be to change it. Maybe having a big study, and maybe there is an argument for it. But one thing the state doesn't do is, which our city legislature does, incidentally, I've defended our city council. We can complain about them, but they read every bill. They have public hearings on every bill.
That's kind of unusual in legislative
think about
bodies.
That. It think is. About that. That's, there's nothing done back. Do people negotiate things? Sure, they negotiate things. Again, you can't do that with a reporter sitting right there. But you can then bring everything into the public domain, let the public comment, let people who disagree get their opportunity, just even know about it and do something about it. And in this case, if there is an argument raise the fees, putting together a blue ribbon commission and having them, not trial lawyers who have a vested interest, but of others to take a look at it, you know, some academics, some legal scholars, not a bad idea, and I would certainly wouldn't oppose looking at it. And if that panel said fine, okay, then we'll have to live with it.
There are a few groups in this city that for some reason don't like mayoral control of schools, the teachers union, and even I saw Howard Stringer was complaining about it because he wanted to get a new law in that would give the borough president's control over the community boards. However, the people of New York in a recent survey did think it's a good idea, or do think it's a good idea. 52% say that it is. They also, 62% say charter schools they think is a good idea.
Well, charter schools are a great idea because they give the public schools competition. And, you know, I run the public schools, and the competition forces us to Joel Klein and Dennis Walcott and the 120,000 people that work for the Department of Education, it forces us to do a better job, to focus and make sure. And that's good for everybody. I think, John, when it comes to mayoral control, the bottom line is we never would have had any of these reforms if it had to go through panels that each get rolled by different constituents and are more concerned with protecting their own jobs on the panel and their future political plans or interests. You can't run a railroad with lots of different people having a say. It just doesn't work. And if there was ever evidence of the wisdom of mayoral control, just look at the graduation rates up 20%, increases in double digit in math and English among groups that traditionally always did much worse and nobody seemed to ever care, a crime rate down, teachers have gotten a 43% pay increase. Teachers should be out there manning the barricades demanding mayoral control. Before mayoral control, they were treated terribly. Today, they get paid as well as teachers in the suburbs. If they think for one second, if you went back, that they would still do well, that's not the real world, because just unless you are making investments that really pay off, the public's just not going to support big raises for teachers. Whereas I think given the results that the teachers have produced, They deserve to get the big raises that they did. I will stand there and fight with anybody. When they do a good job, they deserve to get it, and they've gotten it.
Let's see here. Medical fraud. Did you see the story about Medicaid fraud and dentists? I think the state paid, my point here is not so much this specific, other than the fact that the fraud, it is estimated in Medicaid in New York State, could run as high as $10 to $20 billion.
I don't know where any of those numbers
from.
Is there abuse? Sure. The real problem with Medicaid and Medicare are there programs that started out to do something in a small ways that just the political process keeps expanding them, which may be great public policy. But along with that comes enormous expense increase, and we've just got to decide. In a decade, I think the estimates are we're going to spend 25% of our GMP on health care. You can't do that. Okay, who's going to stand up and say to Group X, we can't afford to give you health care anymore, we're going to cut back? The editorial pages will say, do it, do it, do it, and then the instant anybody in one of those groups complains, front page, ogre, whoever cuts them back, and that sort of thing. You know, you can't have it both ways, guys. You can't have your editorial page say one thing, and then the guy that writes the headline, who is as much an editor in a newspaper as the person that writes the editorial page, you can't have them two different directions.
Don't you think it's interesting?
Is there corruption here? Yeah, probably some small stuff, but not a lot.
Well, you think so. I mean, the New York Times, in that huge article about a year and a half, 2 years ago, figured $18 billion could be as high. Fraud in Medicaid in New York State.
Per year.
Out of $48 billion that is spent.
You just can't have that amount of corruption. I mean, it's... I'm not for a second defending how well anybody polices where we spend our money, but those numbers sound disproportionately high. I think the answer of Medicaid fraud is, to a great extent, a definition of what's an appropriate expense. If you say, oh, no, the law says this. For example, we use Medicaid to help pay for graduate medical education. Somebody would say, oh, that was not the purpose of it. And that may very well be. But we still have to subsidize graduate medical education if we're going to have great doctors. And because the doctors, somebody gets out of school, they can't afford to pay the real cost of getting that kind of an education. It's a much more technical occupation. Every day it gets harder and harder and more expensive, more complex. But if we didn't take the money there, we'd have to take it elsewhere. We'd have to provide the money for graduate medical education in some ways. Is that fraud? I don't know. I mean, it's the political answer to how you pay for things when you don't need another fight.
Were you surprised at the new unemployment numbers that jumped last month in the city?
Yeah, I mean, there's great variability in these numbers, and they also get revised. The issue with unemployment numbers is it's not clear what the claims numbers mean, because if you drop out, you don't get counted, although you still might need a job, but you just have given up. If you come back in, it might hype them. The question is the number of people working. But make no mistake about it, there are people getting hurt in the city. There are stores in every borough. You drive down streets and you see a lot more empty stores than you did before. Companies just will tell you they can't afford to keep going the ways. And we've got to do something about that. And that's what we're trying to do in the city. We have these programs. We're trying to train people and find jobs for them. I can sit around and complain about it. And I can't do anything about the national or international or even the state level. What I can do is here in the city, make sure we use everything we can. If a small business gets in trouble, call 311. We have services that can give you advice. There's even people who might lend you money. We have training programs for your employees. You have to match it maybe, but we have stuff. If you're in danger of losing your house, there are plenty of nonprofits who will give you advice, tell you what your rights are, that sort of thing. Call 311. We'll connect you with the right agencies that can groups that can help you. The same thing is true with all of these things. Let's just not complain. Let's pull together and say, okay, we are dealt this hand. Let's deal with it and see if we can't make sure that people who are getting hurt get the a hand up rather than just a handout.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's take a final break here. And when we come back, we can answer some phone calls, or you can answer some phone calls. The phone number this morning, 800-321-8828. We're coming right back to you.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, here we go. It's your turn, ladies and gentlemen, for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We're going to start with line number three. That happens to be Nick out in New Jersey. Good morning, Nick. What's the question for the mayor?
Hey, John, Mr. Mayor, how are you?
Good, Nick.
To me, it seems, this is respect to the MTA, it would seem better maybe to break the MTA into two separate entities, which is in control of the infrastructure and capital purchases, which is funded by the city and or state, and the second, which is the day-to-day operations and all the labor for those day-to-day operations, which is funded by the fair.
Put him on the board.
You know, Dick Ravitz did a study, and his conclusion, I think, and he knows more than I do because he ran it and he's done the research recently, his conclusion was actually to go in the other direction, that one of their problems is they do have all of these separate entities within the MTA, each of which has an enormous staff and doesn't work together. So, for example, we do maintenance in different places for different buses, and you can't move them back and forth. We buy things from different people, we'd be better off combining all the things. But it's a good idea, and I will mention to him that one person called in from New Jersey thinking it's a good idea. See whether he changes his mind. Thanks for the call.
Nick will get you a job. Laura in Manhattan, you're next with the Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Go.
Yes, good morning, Mr.
Good morning.
Mayor. I'm a Manhattan resident, and I ride the buses every single day all over the city. And what I have observed is that handicapped individuals and their companions are never required to pay their fare. I'd like to know why.
I have no idea. They should be paying the fare. Actually, one of the problems we have is a lot of handicapped take this accessoride, and if you do the math, accessoride costs roughly $60 per person. You have a lot of these accessoride buses with only one person. Per trip. And so one of the things we've proposed to the MTA, but it's up to them and the legislature, is you'd be better off charging $20 and giving everybody a voucher or a credit card that they can use in the taxis. And remember, John,
that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, but one of the nice things is now that we have all of this technology in the cabs, you can use your credit card. And number two, we know where you came from and where you went, so we can make sure there's no fraud, that you only use it for what you should be using it, because people say, oh, well, accessoride, we know where they go, and we can only, you know, we don't
you
let
don't
them
really.
Use it. In this case, you really would. And it'd be a lot cheaper, and I think you could provide a lot better service for the handicap. But I will, Laura, I did not know, and I'll ask Lysander today. I'll give him a call and see.
I see that you've got this script in front of you. What are you doing with this acting script?
Ah, Saturday night is the annual Inner Circle dinner. It is.
Have you been rehearsing?
Well, I've been rehearsing a lot less than I did in previous years. I'm a little bit worried about this, but I haven't had the time. There's just so many things going on. I've been up in Albany, trying to.
So you're going to tell us what you're going to
do? What it is every year there is.
You're not going to tell us
Tickets are available if you want to go, because the newspaper business is so slow. A lot of people haven't been buying tickets, but they'd be happy to have you come. And it's the press puts together a spoof of the administration in one scene, and then another one for the national administration, another, and then the mayor comes back with a Broadway cast for half an hour and spoofs the press. And in the past, I was Mary Poppins, Man of La Mancha, I was in The Producers in Chicago, and
West Side Story this year, possibly?
John,
be a jet?
I cannot tell you which show we're using. It is a state secret, but come Saturday night.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Alan in Queens, your turn with the mayor. Go.
How you doing, Mr. Mayor?
Good, Alan.
Trying to quiet the... A lot of outrage about the 50-cent fare hike, but what about the people who drive? $1.50. You know, they always, if they raise the toll, subways a quarter, they raise the tolls $1 to subsidize the MTA. Well, you know, a lot of drivers, you know, you got to pay for gas, parking when you get into the city, you got insurance. $1.50 is a big jump.
Well, there's no question about that, Alan, and there are some elected officials who agree with you. I think it's a question of the lesser of two evils. Either you have the strap hangers pay a lot more, which is the fallback position for the MTA board, or you find another source of revenue which will make the subways more attractive to those people who currently drive. And that was the idea behind the city's plan, and then the governor and Dick Ravitch's plan, and Shelley Silver's plan. And it's a little bit of spreading the pain. Some places, they have laws against people bringing cars into the central city. Nobody's proposing that. In this case, I don't know that the amount of the $2 that Shelley Silver's plan, for example, would charge is enough to dissuade anybody from driving, given, as Alan points out, it's gas and insurance and the car and parking's all very expensive. But whatever it is, this is never a good time to raise taxes because the economy is slowing down. It's never a good time to have fees increase because the economy is slowing down. But when the economy slows down, that's when the city and the state and these agencies and the federal government even needs more revenue.
All right, thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. Let's see if we can sneak in Bill up in Bridgeport. Bill, you're with John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Go.
Hi, Mayor. I applaud your energy conservation efforts with the city, but I wonder what the carbon footprint is for the average New Yorker, and how does that relate to the average American?
Good news and bad news. The good news is we are very efficient per capita, much less than any place else. The bad news is because of the size of the city, we have a bigger carbon footprint than the country of Portugal. So, but the reason that it's very low...
Say that again? We have a carbon...
We generate more gases
than the whole country of Portugal.
Yeah, but keep in mind, the country of Portugal doesn't have that many people.
I understand.
So in New York City, it's very different than in other cities. It's 80% buildings, 20% transportation. Every place else, it's 80% transportation, 20% buildings. You want to try and see if we get one more? Line two here?
You want to go line two? Let me try line two. Line two is Ron. Go, Ron, real fast.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Mayor. Hi, John. A year or so ago, it was announced that the 60-year-old United Nations building needed $2 billion worth of repair. Instead of doing that repair, why not encourage the UN to move to the World Trade Center
Good
site,
idea.
Tear down the old building, and sell the land to developers?
Ron, it was proposed a number of times. The UN says, I think the politics of the UN is if they had, they've said no. If they had to move, they'd move out of New York, which would be devastating to our economy, particularly now. I mean, the UN brings in, whether you like it or not, they bring enormous amount of business into the city because of all of the missions and consulates and everything else, people visiting here from around the world. It was not a bad idea. I thought it was a great idea back when, but the bottom line is the United Nations won't do it. And the politics of the United Nations are that if they moved, they would probably move to Europe or someplace else, but out of New York.
Did they tell you which city they would favor?
No.
They just said we're going to move. If we have to move, we're going to someplace.
Everybody in the inside at the UN said, look, you don't want to open that Pandora's box, given the sentiment in this world.
Makes sense, though. But then again, that doesn't mean it gets done.
Governor's Island would be another perfect place for it. I always suggested that.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Mayor, that's it for us today. In fact, I'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm going
to
take next week off, all right?
Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you very much, sir. I will see you in a couple of weeks.